So we are talking about a breeding ground for miracles. Last week, we started talking about the need for you and I to put our faith to work in order for miracles to happen. So we are talking about putting your faith to work. The Lord will never do anything outside of your involvement. The Lord is looking for partners. The Lord is looking for people who are ready to walk a journey with Him. And therefore, when He wants to do a work in your life, He partners with you through your faith. And that is why we are talking about how do we put our faith to work. So for you to experience the miraculous, you need to put your faith to work. An environment in which miracles occur is one that is charged with faith. And it is therefore important for us to know how do we make our faith work for us. And last week we learned the first key on how to put our faith to work. And the first key was, do not be familiar with God. If you are to experience miracles in your life, you need to put value and weight on Jesus and on the things of Jesus. Glory be to God. And we are seeing this morning, there is enough in God for each and every one of us to receive. You see, the Lord does not have a scarcity problem. The Lord is abundant with miracles. He's full of goodness. But the question is, are we positioned aright in order to receive from Him? Sometimes you are not positioned because you're just used to God. You deal with God as a casual God. In other words, you don't place weight on God. If you and I can learn to honor God, you'll be positioned to receive from Him. And this morning, God willing, I want to deposit in your heart two more principles on how we put our faith to work. Number two. Now you say, "Wow, Pastor, isn't there something deeper than that?" Number two, in order for you to experience miracles in your life, you need to ask God for a miracle. Come on now. You and I need to know how to ask God for miracles. Yes, that sounds very fundamental. It sounds very in the periphery. But when I do my study of the Bible, I realize that most, if not all, the miracles happened after somebody made a request. Come on now. After somebody made a request, a miracle happened. And therefore, it is important that you and I are reminded this morning that in the absence of you making a request, you might not receive a miracle. Come on now. In the absence of you and I making a request, we might not experience miracles. Your miracle is in your ability to ask God to move on your behalf. It sounds very fundamental, but you might be surprised but that there are some people who are not comfortable with making a request. If we go in the natural, you find that there are certain people who are not comfortable asking for help. Come on now. And those type of people are not even comfortable to receive gifts. I don't know what's up with those type of people. But there are people like that. They find it, they are not comfortable. Whether they feel like if I ask, I'll appear as if I am weak. You know, maybe they feel like if I ask, I'll appear as if I'm poor. And yet, I've heard this image that all is well at home. There's no salt in the kitchen cabinet. But you're not able to ask salt across the wall. Because the moment you ask for salt, already you feel that they now know that there's nothing back home. Come on now. Without knowing, we do exactly the same with God. We become very minimalistic in our request before God. Yesterday, I challenged the people who were here for prayer, and I say to them, for you to receive God-sized miracles, you need to do God-sized prayers. You need to ask big. The Bible says, either go big or go home. Come on now. When you are before Bill Gates, We all know Bill Gates. Okay, he used to be one of the richest people in the world. Just imagine with me, Bill Gates is in your house and he asks you, Gerard, just ask me, what do you want? And Gerard says, I just want my rubbish bin to be taken out. Oh, dude, are you okay upstairs? I just want my... Man, if Bill Gates comes before me, I will ask until he drops. Yeah. Now, before us, there's a greater than Bill Gates. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's one that is greater than Bill Gates. The question is, he has given you an opportunity, but in your humility, I can't bother God. Yeah. I'm going to say to you, some of this humility stands. It's not humility, it's pride. So your miracle is in your ability to ask God for it. Amen. So most, if not all, miracles in the Bible happened after someone asked God to move on their behalf. Luke chapter 4, verse 38. I want to hear those pages going. If you don't know where Luke is, go to the index. That's wisdom. Come on. That's wisdom. Amen. Don't pretend that you know where Luke is. Go to the index and you see the page number. And you go to the page number and you find Luke. And then start moving to the right until you get to chapter 4. And then when you get to chapter 4, start going down all the way to verse 38. Come on now. I'm talking about asking. Luke 4, verse 38. And rising up from the synagogue, he entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother, in other words, Simon's mother-in-law, was being seized with a great fever. And they asked him for her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. So Jesus comes into Peter's house. And his mother-in-law, not Jesus' mother-in-law, but Peter's mother-in-law, okay, was under a fever. I don't know if it was in our days, COVID-19. I don't know what COVID was there back in the days, but the Bible says it was a great fever. And I'm sure they looked at her, she was sweating. The blankets were wet. And there she is losing breath. And they said, the healer is here. You see, when you know that somebody has what you need, you are not ashamed to ask them for your help. Glory be to God. They knew Jesus was present and they made a request. Now, the advent of modern medication has caused some of us to forget the power of a request. The advent of modern medication has caused most of us, by default, without thinking about it, whenever a temperature rises up, we don't think of prayer, we think of Panadol. I don't have a problem with medical stuff. I visit doctors. But what I want to say to you this morning, as a believer, before you start calling, where is the nearest doctor, call Jeremiah 33, verse 3.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Before you start calling friends, who is the best doctor to deal with fever? The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Hallelujah. Can that be on a speed dial in your phone from this morning? Thereafter, you can start calling, where is the healer? Where is the doctor? After you have prayed. When Jesus came into the house of Simon, they knew it was an opportunity for them to receive a miracle. You see, most of the time, instead of asking, we worry. We worry about the situation. We talk to people about the situation. We ask for details of psychiatrists, counselors. But this morning, I want to challenge you as people of God. Let God be our first port of call. Before we talk about it at work, let's talk to Jesus about it. Glory be to God. There is a power in asking. Philippians 4 verse 6. Be anxious about nothing. be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 then says, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. You don't have peace this morning. Maybe you haven't prayed about it. Someone said, worrying is paying interest for trouble that is yet to happen. Come on now. Worrying is paying interest for trouble that is yet to happen. I want to challenge you this morning, do not be anxious. Do not worry, but pray. That is why sometimes I get to sound like a broken record about the need for prayer. How much we need to pray as a church. Yes, I will continue sounding like a broken record until the revelation lands in our hearts. Someone needs to understand the power of a request. You see, when you ask, you are putting your faith to work. It means that you believe in God's ability to move on your behalf. That is the indication of an ask. Asking is an expression of your faith and confidence in God's ability to do it for you. Unfortunately, more and more we are trusting in men than we trust in God. The more we trust in God, the more we are found in prayer. The more we spend time in prayer. I was challenging the guys who came here for training. And I was saying to them, I think we know we need to go on a program where we commit ourselves to give God 10% of our time daily. In prayer. In reading the word. What is 10% of 24 hours? 2.4 hours. When you say to yourself, I want to give a tithe of my time in prayer and in reading the word, and you see the transformation in your life. In churches, we talk about tithe a lot when it comes to charity. Yeah, we can talk about that. But how about tithing our time in prayer? Where you say to yourself, how am I going to structure my day to give God 10% of my day? Oh man, your life will never be the same again. The stuff that you're running after now will start running after you. Because you start drawing attention from heaven. Luke chapter 5 verse 12. I'm talking about ask for you to receive your miracle. Luke 5 verse 12. So if your Bible was still open, it's just the next chapter. Not far away from where you are. Okay? Luke 5 verse 12. The Bible says, and it happened as he was in a certain city. Behold, a man full of leprosy. A man full of leprosy. And seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me. Lord, if you will, you can change my life. Lord, if you will, this credit card can be sorted out. Hallelujah. Some of you need to pray that prayer. Yes. He fell on his face and begged him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me. And stretching out the hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know what happened here? The man connected with the power of Jesus by calling out to Jesus. He placed weight on the ministry of Jesus. So when you start placing weight on God by talking to him, he will come through for you. You might not be carrying leprosy that we all see on the outside. But each one of us has a level of leprosy somewhere in our lives. Maybe it's relational leprosy. Maybe it's emotional leprosy. Maybe it's marriage leprosy. But you need to come to a place where you are tired of your leprosy. This man heard about Jesus and he said, I'm not going to let him go until this thing changes. until something moved. He cried out, "Lord, if you will, cleanse me." You see, there are prayers that Jesus cannot resist. And these are prayers that are charged by faith. You know, you come to a place where you say, "Lord Jesus, unless you come through for me, I will not see tomorrow." I don't know if you've been there before. You see, the way you present your request indicates your level of faith and desperation. Many of us are not yet desperate. The day that we are desperate, we will ask for church keys. And say, "Pastor, can I just go and spend the night at church?"
Yeah, amen.
And I'll give you the keys. Nobody has yet done that before. It means we are not yet desperate. I want you to know, back in the days when somebody was about to be killed, he would run into the tabernacle and hold on to the horns of the ark. And the moment he did that, nobody could touch him. And I want to say to you today, when you reach that point, keys are available. The church is carpeted. You can lie flat the whole night here until heaven comes. And I'm telling you, heaven will come. We move from just singing, "Oh, heaven come," to really seeing heaven coming.
Amen.
When we talk to God.
Amen.
This man was not ready to see another day of pain. He was not ready to see another day of segregation. Because everybody who had leprosy was not allowed near people. He was unclean. And therefore, when he was unclean, anybody who touched him would be rendered unclean. But I want you to see something. When Jesus was on the scene, Jesus had more power than the leprosy. And therefore, the unclean, the moment he touched the unclean had to change. That is a new covenant. That is the New Testament faith. In the Old Testament, the unclean would make the clean to become unclean. I don't know if you hear what I'm talking about here. This is so important. In the old covenant, the unclean would make the clean to become unclean. That is why they were told, don't touch dead bodies, don't touch women at a certain time of the month, because you become unclean. But in the new covenant is better than the old covenant. In the new covenant, when you are clean, you have the ability to transform the unclean to become clean. Woo! That is why the Bible says we are the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It disinfects. So it doesn't matter who hangs around me. If you hang around me long enough, you will stop swearing. You can't help it. Because of the power of Jesus. One of our guys who started working with us in 2020, he came. He was smoking, and I've said this before. It's important that I say these things. And I'll speak to this guy. I cannot even force him to change his lifestyle. But I believe the time I spent with him brought a level of conviction in his heart. And one day I went and he said to me, "Hey, you know what? Stop." And I said to him, "Why did you stop?" He said, "You know what? I can't stop. It's a horrible habit." You know, I was there communicating with him the love of God, a certain lifestyle, but never did I command him to stop. And I want you to know, when you have Jesus in your life, it doesn't matter the company you have, you have more influence on your company than the company has on you.
Amen.
Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Can you clap your hands to Jesus this morning? That's the type of God we serve. Whew. This man was not ready to see another day of pain. He's like, "Jesus, have mercy. Let's take you to another guy." Another man who was not ready to see another day in his condition was blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bart. Mark 10, verse 46. "Where you are located, go to your left." You get to Mark. All right. Let's go to Mark 10, verse 46. I'm talking about the power of a request. I'm challenging the church, do not minimize the power of prayer.
Amen.
The power of requesting. Mark 10, 46. The Bible says, I can hear pages are still going. Are you coming from the index now? Right. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he with his disciples and a large crowd went out of Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the side of the highway, begging. Begging. Do you know that there are certain people who actually possess in their own corners? The guys who beg, some of them, they know territories. They mark their territory. And blind Bartimaeus had marked his corner. Like, this is my area. If you come here, you have to fight me. Now, blind Bartimaeus was becoming comfortable. But when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Talking about the power of a request, the power of an ask. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, and many warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried a great deal more, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm sure he was telling them, people, you don't know my problem. You don't know how bad it is. That is why you don't understand the reason why I'm shouting. That's why you don't understand the reason why I'm dancing before the Lord. Because I know what I need from God. Or I know what He has done for me. And therefore He deserves my worship. And when you are watching this, as if you are watching TV. Huh? I know you guys are different. You don't do that. But I've been in churches where a guy looks smartly dressed and is just observing everybody else, worshipping. And he starts laughing at them. But blind Bartimaeus says, I don't care what you say about me. I know what I want. He cried out and said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people were saying, stop this nonsense of yours. You keep on talking about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. It's becoming annoying. And he said to them, no, my problem is different from your problem. He refused to be quieted, but he cried a great deal more. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Remember, in verse 46, the Bible says Jesus was moving with his entourage. He had a crowd around him. And yet he could hear the cry of Bartimaeus. This morning, it doesn't matter how many people are praying to God, your cry matters. And he will hear your cry. My son asked me one day, and he says, Dad, let me understand. Many people are praying. How come God hears all of them? Does God really hear all of them who are praying? How does he do it? I don't know. Maybe you've got that thing in your heart where you feel like God is just too busy for me. But I want to say to you this morning, in that crowd, Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus. And he said, he is worth my attention. Call him. And then those who were trying to quieten him changed their tone. Like, hey, the man is calling for you. Right? And this is what happened. The Bible says, verse 51, and answering Jesus said to him, what do you desire that I should do to you? The power of a request. Jesus, can't you see the guy is blind? Why are you asking him, what do you want me to do for you? The power of a request. When you make a request, you are connecting your faith with the source of the power. Glory be to God. What do you desire that I should do to you? The blind man said to him, my Lord, that I may see again. That I may see again. The blind man raised a cry that was full of faith. He had heard about Jesus, the Son of David. He was rightly placing Jesus. I'm sure he had read the Torah. where the Torah was talking about the Messiah shall come, and with him the ability to heal the sick. And therefore he named him right and says, Jesus, Son of David. When you make your request, remind him, Jesus, you are my healer. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Jehovah Tzidkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. Jehovah El Shaddai, the more than enough, the multi-breasted God. You give him his title, he will live according to his title. Glory be to God. That's the type of God we serve. What do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Many requests are not met because they are not clear. Your request must be clear. When I was teaching on the power of the prevailing prayer, I spoke about the sniper type of prayer. A prayer that is very specific. What do you need Jesus to do for you? You see, when you present your request, learn to be specific. Lord, I want to see. Lord, I need 5,000 rand for my rent. Lord, I want my brother and I to be in talking terms again. Lord, I want favor with my boss. I'm going to be asking for leave tomorrow, but my boss is difficult. Lord, I want favor. I actually need 2 days. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Talk about being specific. How many days do you need? And you walk in that office not sheepishly. You walk full of confidence. You dress up. Come on. The Bible says be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Do what you got to do and God will do the rest. Oh man, make your request. When you understand how to release a cry, miracles will happen for you. You see, when you need a miracle, there's no place for dignity. When you are in need of a miracle, there is no place for dignity. There's no place for self-awareness. It calls for a radical approach. Blind Bartimaeus was not afraid of what people were going to say. You know, most of us, we have missed our miracles because we have paid attention to what I call white noise. There's so much stuff going on around you. There's so much talk around you. And your focus is moving away from on God to the white noise around you. Everybody is leaving the country. Everybody is going overseas. And therefore, you stop believing God for a promotion. Come on. Not all of us are supposed to go to Australia or New Zealand or Canada. Some have to stay put. Come on. Some of us have to stay put. Unless the Lord really comes and says to you, it's time to move, then move. I was saying to somebody, you know what? I know some guys are leaving, but for me, it's an opportunity. You know, one of the contracts I got is because the guy relocated. He went overseas, and they phoned me, hey, listen, the guy is gone. Can you give you that job? Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Who else is leaving? What am I talking about here? Let's focus on God. And everything else, people can talk as much as they want, but I know what I'm looking for. And the source is in Jesus. Jesus taught his disciples the need to pray in a certain way. So when you make your request, don't just make requests. There is a way. John 16 verse 24. John 16 24. The Bible says, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Woo! Pause. Haven't you been asking? And here Jesus is saying to his disciples, until now you've just been talking, but I want you to understand there is power in my name. Until now you haven't asked anything in my name. Then he says, ask and you will receive so that your joy might be made complete. I don't know what type of God you are taught, But the type of God I know doesn't withhold good things from me. The Bible says in Psalms 84, no good thing will I withhold from you. And here he says here, ask so that your joy might be made complete. Is it possible for me now to pray and say, Lord, please, may you please do this for me so that my joy might be made complete. Lord, right now, my joy is not complete. And I think it's a relevant prayer because Jesus says, God wants to complete your joy. When you make your request, do it using the name of Jesus that has authority to open doors. The name that has authority to create doors where there are no doors. Talk about miracles. Philippians 2 verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, God exalted him. Talking about Jesus, the Bible says before then, he talks about the attitude that Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not find his equality with God as something to grasp on. When he was commanded to come down to earth, he came as a man. And he died the death of a sinner. Right? Now, this is the reward. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, to the glory of God the Father. The power in a name. We have to come to a place of understanding. Remember in Holy Communion we spoke about having a revelation of Jesus. I want you to know when you have a revelation of Jesus, you are able to pray in the name of Jesus and demons will go. The sick are healed. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands upon the sick, and the sick shall be healed. Amen. The power of a request. The power of a name. When you know who Jesus is, you're not afraid of topologies. Come on now. Can I talk about that? Some of you have been struggling with lack of sleep. You sleep and you feel like somebody is choking you. We command that demon to leave you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says God gives sleep to his righteous. Amen. May the Lord give you sleep tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Why should you be suffocating unless you've got flu that's closing your nostrils? If it's not flu, it's not of God. Come on. I'm talking about the power in the name of Jesus. Talk about people who struggle during exam times. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will not struggle during your exam time in Jesus' name. Why? Because we carry the name that is above all other names. You see, could it be that your miracle has delayed because you've been casual in using the name of Jesus? When you need a miracle, talking to God must become a priority in your life. So important. James 4 verse 2. The Bible says, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill. That's why we've got all of these construction mafias who are closing down our construction sites. They're doing things in a very horrible way to try and gain what doesn't belong to them. They desire, but they don't know how to do it, and therefore they kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Does somebody hear me this morning? I hope this has really come into your heart this morning, to go back and ask again. Now, making the request is only the starting point. Let me give you number two, the second key in putting your faith to work. Yes, you have started making your request. Number three, be persistent in your request. Does somebody hear me this morning? So number one, do not be familiar with God. Number two, ask God for a miracle. Number three, keep on asking. Keep on asking. Again, when I was teaching on prevailing prayer, we spoke about prevailing prayer has to be persistent. you have to be so stubborn. You see, some of you are, you'll excuse me, some of you are naturally stubborn. Let's convert that into the spirit. Where you're able to say, you know what, I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. I refuse to give up. I will pray until something changes.
Amen.
How long have you been praying for that miracle? You see, there's a need for you and I to wait on God. There is a need for you and I to learn the art of waiting on God. Now, put this down. If I had my slides up, it would have been one of them. Some miracles will happen in the realm of suddenlies, but some will happen in the realm of after a while.
I know we are more inclined to receive suddenly the Lord came through for me. But I want you to know there are times where your miracle will come after a while, after waiting upon the Lord,
after putting your trust in God. So that when the breakthrough comes, it's no longer about the breakthrough, it's about the one who gave you the breakthrough. I want you to know that in the waiting period, our character is shaped and we are ready to receive the goodness of God. You know, when you have waited long enough for a husband, when he comes, you will not allow him to stop you from going to church. Because you didn't do anything special to get him. But you know what I'm talking about? You see, prayer is a way of just panel beating us.
Yeah.
And making us to know where we belong and where God belongs.
Yeah.
You know, when it finally comes, you will know that I have nothing to do with it. It has to be God.
Yeah.
You know, that's maybe one of the reasons why God puts us in the after while category.
Yeah.
So that my character is fashioned and ready to give him the glory when the miracle happens.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whew. I just wish all of us can just fit into that suddenly bracket. I'm reminded of a woman by the name of Hannah. In the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, here is a guy with two wives. I don't know how he managed it. Come on now. One is the dad. Glory be to God. I love my wife. Let me understand what I'm talking about. You can't have more than one. It's never the design of God. But anyway, he had two wives. One was Penina, one was Hannah. Penina had children, and Hannah had no children. And the Bible says, year after year, Penina touted, called him her name, like, you are not blessed. Look at me, my husband loves me, and I'm giving him children after child, and you're alone. Now, Hannah, the Bible says, she kept on coming to the house of the Lord. She kept on praying to the Lord. And one day, the miracle happened. After years, child of God, don't stop coming to church when you're waiting for your miracle. Child of God, don't stop serving God when you're waiting for your miracle. Because when the miracle comes, you've got no reason to hold on to it. You're able to say like Hannah, Lord, when you give me that son, I'll give it back to you.
Amen.
Give me that boy and I'll give him back to you. She had nothing to hold on to this boy who came. And once when Samuel came, the Bible says she took him back to the house of God.
Amen.
She told the high priest, do you remember me? I'm the woman who came here praying. That broken boy. That's what happens when we hold on in prayer. Our hearts become malleable, soft, and it starts leading us. You see, when you're praying long enough for a vehicle, and if you know when it comes, you're tired. You know, sometimes you don't even rejoice a lot. But the car has come, but yeah, I just yes. So there's no party. You don't throw a party. They just say, Lord, can people hear me, my friends? Right? I don't know if you've been there.
And then he comes and says, there's a sister in the church who's been walking. Please give him the car. He won't fight it. You give it. Man, anyway, for 6 years I was walking. I might as well continue walking. I'm talking about the power of prayer in the waiting.
Let's be persistent. Jesus taught a lot about prayer and about waiting on God. And let's catch up with him in Luke 11 from verse 5. Luke 11 verse 5. Then teaching them about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight. I'm waiting for you. I can hear the pages. Luke 11 verse 5. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, "Hey, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. He came at midnight." And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, "Don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I cannot help you." Verse 8, "But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence." Other versions talk about importunity. It talks about you being in a place where it's like, "Ooh, I need this urgently. It is so urgent, I need this." This man will keep on knocking, and because of his shameless persistence, you will do something. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Persistence. Oh, how much we need to be long-suffering. Unfortunately, we are a generation of the microwave. You know how the microwave works? You put the fish in there, you press defrost, you press grill. Before you know it, you've got fish that's grilled coming out of the oven. It's quick, fast, in real time. And that's how we want our prayers to be answered. And when they are not answered that way, we question the integrity of God. We question His love and His character. If He's really a good God, how come? So the parable was not written to show that friends help each other. But the parable was written to show that there is a way in which we should pray for miracles to happen. So the parable teaches two things. Firstly, it teaches us of the necessity to persevere in prayer. The friend kept on knocking. Now think about a block of flats. Doors, you know. So you come out of your door and you're knocking at the window of your friend. "Taban! Taban, it's mine! We're friends, you know that. But another friend came unexpectedly. I have no bread. Taban!" And every other neighbor is hearing that Taban is being requested for bread. You know? Taban says, "Listen, man, I'm sleeping. I just came from a trip." But Mike keeps on knocking. "Taban, we are friends. I need bread. Taban, I need bread." Now the Bible says he will give him not because of friendship, but because of his shameless persistence. Taban's reputation is now on the line. Because everybody else, number 10, number 12, number 13, is hearing that Taban is being requested just for bread. Hey! And then in the morning, everybody's looking. That's the guy who refuses to give people bread. So Taban said, "No, man. No, I'm not doing this because we are friends, but just because you're just shamelessly persisting. You are exposing me." And he gave him bread. I'm talking about persistence in prayer. You keep on knocking. I want you to know that a delay doesn't mean a denial in our lives. When there seems to be a delay in our lives, let's just tarry in the presence of God. Because His reputation is on the line. It's not your reputation, it's His reputation. Because I remember David saying, how will they say, where is his God? Lord, why should they ask, where is his God? The same thing applies to us. If you're in a dire strait, I'm telling you, people will start asking, questioning your Christianity and your God. Like, Pastor Luan, he says he's a believer, but look. I want you to know our God looks after his reputation. It's so important. Secondly, it speaks of a certain urgency in prayer. We must learn to be urgent in our prayer and to pray with expectations. So a prayer of faith is accompanied with a sense of urgency and expectation. Let me finish off this morning by just reading one more scripture. You can see my time is 11 o'clock. You see, God is not impatient when we pray for long times. God will not tell you that, hey man, can you please just stop praying this prayer? No. Let me show you a scripture in Isaiah 62, verse 6. The Bible says, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who will not always be silent all the day, nor all the night. You who remember Jehovah, do not be silent. Go, church, do not be silent. And give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. In another place it says, is it easy to weary God like you weary man? Oh, God cannot be wearied. The more we pray, the more he is drawn to us. Why? Because we haven't lost our faith in him. We keep on asking. We keep on believing. And those are the two keys I wanted to give you this morning. To say, ask. No matter how many times you've been asking, keep on asking. Maybe there's that prayer that you've been making for a long time. May you find grace in your heart to keep on asking. Keep on praying. Let's bow our heads and pray.